This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I mean, that's pretty loud from Daryl Ryder. I mean, Daryl Ryder joining us last segment saying, hey, you may have this fever dream of the ways that you can get rid of Deshaun Watson. Can you sweeten the pot enough? Can you do enough things to maybe entice one of these teams to want to buy in and cut him and kind of get you off the hook? And boy, when our Cleveland sports reporter Daryl Ryder says that one to you, it's kind of the cold water on top of your head. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan, 216-474-0092. Andy Baskin, I am Dan Menigan in here today. Andy, I think you're just stuck with the guy. I don't think there's anything we can do with it. I think this is the Kobayashi Maru, my friend. I think that is the best way for you and I to understand this. This is the Kobayashi Maru. This is the unwinnable situation unless the guy plays better. That's the only way you walk out of this with a win. And right now, from what I've seen, that's the equivalent of Captain Kirk going in and changing the program so that he can win. Mm. I mean, that's where
yeah,
we are.
I mean, he's not going anywhere. We're going to play here in a second. Mike Sando was on the afternoon show yesterday. Albert Breer, I mean, people, they've been talking about this for a moment. I do know, I just, first of all, before we get back into talking about, you know, Deshaun Watson, what the future of this Browns team might look like, I just want to thank everybody listening on the Odyssey app right now. I know we're all pumped up for the game tonight. 5 hours, 2 minutes, 40 seconds. Stand by. We'll be talking about the Guardians all afternoon. I mean, I'm pumped. You're pumped. We're all pumped to see if the Guardians can come back in this thing. Corey Kluber is going to be on with us later today. Travis Hafner is going to be on. He's throwing out the first pitch tomorrow, so the Pronk will be with us tomorrow. So hang tight. Any news about the game tonight, you are not going to miss any of it, and we'll break away. We'll start talking a little bit more about the Guardians here as the show progresses. But we did just talk to Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter, and some of the things that Dan's talking about when it comes to, you know, what should they do to try to figure out the future of the Browns right now, because they're in a weird spot, man. They're 1-5, and you know as well as I do that if Deshaun Watson didn't have that contract around him right now, this situation might look a lot different.
He would have been gone 2 weeks ago. He would have been on a bench 2-3 weeks ago. In fact, I don't even know if we would have, we probably still would have rolled into the season to see if there was something here with it, but boy, there would be a different direction.
But I will say this too, if he didn't have that contract, he wouldn't be here.
With everything else going on behind the scenes.
I don't want to say it, but Baker Mayfield might still be here.
Well, let's not go that far. But with everything else that has taken place with him, there would be a lot of reasons to get away from it, including the one that's still out there right now. I mean, the fact that Roger Goodell at the league meetings yesterday came out and said, we're still in the midst of an investigation.
You know, Daryl and I talked about that on the podcast, and Daryl's just saying that since they settled that last week, there's really nowhere. If part of that settlement was for her to not talk to the NFL, I don't know where the NFL is going to go with it other than the fact that, you know, that the lawsuit got dropped and it tarnished the shield. That's about their only kind of the recourse here on that. And then can you go back and, you know, essentially, double jeopardy is not really what it is. I mean, in the real legal sense, but that's like
the
loose leaf.
This is the NFL.
Yeah, it's the NFL, right?
Yeah, this is a private entity. Who knows? I mean, that's the whole thing with this. But I don't know, man. I don't think there's an out. I think you're just stuck, and your only out might be to put him on the bench. I don't think you can entice
some other
team. All
right, so here's the question, though. You put him on the bench. Are you done? Are you now sitting this out for another year and trying to bring in another quarterback, and he becomes the most expensive backup quarterback in NFL history? That's what you're asking for. If you put him on the bench now, what does that mean? What does that mean? You know, if it was baseball and a guy had a bad start with 162, it's not that big a deal. But with 17, and if the guy has a bad start, what are you going to do after that? I'm interested to see if the passing lanes open up a little bit more with Amari Cooper not here. I find it hard to believe that, but sometimes when you take something out of the equation, you may get a better answer. And it's just, I'm trying to cling on anything right now that can make me kind of go, okay, this isn't bad. there's a part of it that can be salvaged, and maybe this team can go on a hot streak. I have no confidence in that.
Doom and dread is a horrible
It's not about the players. It's about just the concept, the scheme. It's not about the players personally. It's about the players as athletes. Like,
yeah,
this is not working. We're like putting a lot of ingredients into a bowl, and we're just getting nothing. We're getting absolutely nothing. Reminds me of an episode of Saturday Night Live. I saw a clip of it the other day where they do this holiday cooking contest, and Eddie Murphy's on there.
I know the one you're talking about.
And he like says he's going to make this Sonic the Hedgehog, and it turns into just like this blob that can talk, and it's possessed, and it's just, you know, he had ingredients there. He had cake ingredients, but the next thing you know, it was on fire because it set itself on fire. Maybe that's a little bit more about what the Browns are right now, but I still think they have some talented guys on this team. Did they let go of their most talented receiver? Yeah, I think they did.
You can't deny that there's talent on this roster, but there is something taking place inside of there that is causing a train wreck. And if you want to point to it and go, hey, it's Kevin Stefanski's fault, Ken Dorsey's fault. Okay, sure. If we're building the blame pie, yeah, they get some of it. Some of it is Deshaun Watson's fault. Yeah, sure. He gets a chunk of the blame pie as well. If you want to start going after Andrew Berry for giving up second round picks for Elijah Moore, fine. You can. Right now, it's all on the table. Because whatever is taking place inside of that locker room is not working. So there needs to be some kind of a solution in there somewhere. And we all love to point blame. And I know the number one thing of it, too, of the people who are screaming that Stefanski needs to get fired. Well, frankly, you're saying Stefanski needs to get fired because you can't fire the players. The Deshaun Watson situation is the perfect proof. You can't fire the players. And so right now, you're just stuck. And everyone hates being stuck.
Greg is in Warrensville. Hi, Greg. How are you?
Yeah, right, fine. I know you're not going to, before I get interrupted, I got to say it. I disagree with Mr. Wyatt or Daryl Ryder. I think the Cleveland fans, speaking for the fans now, we have to look out for our future now. Miles Garrett, you know, Denzel Washington, you don't know what you're going to get out of him. Can't get a whole season
maybe
out of
an
him
Oscar.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's, they go at least two first rounds and maybe a few second rounds for both of them. Let's do it. Let's just do it, man. We have to clean. These players are getting old. We have to get something for them. Now, we always mention Watson, and all this. How come you guys never bring up the owner of New England? He got caught with them young ladies and all that. He got burnt.
What does that have to do? Wait, Greg, what does that have to do with what we're talking about right now? What is Watson?
Robert Kraft doesn't throw passes.
Like
that. I mean, that's part of it. Like,
and by the way, like we. When we talk about Watson, and Jeff and I have done this since the first day he got here, we've tried to make it about football.
Yes.
We have tried to make it about football the entire time. And we're not the ones that put ourselves in a position to be sued. So let me just say that. And if anyone wants to talk about it, then, I mean, the choices that Deshaun made and the people that Deshaun decided to hang out with, look, this is where he's at. I mean, he settled all those lawsuits. Those are all facts. So, like, if you want to sit here and talk, wait, Robert Kraft gets talked about all the time, but we're not in Boston. So get with the program, my friend. Get with the program. And don't make it out to be like Jeff and I or Dan are talking about something that's not. We're not. So don't come in with other things, other problems on this show, because I know what we are. And Jeff and I know what we are when we talk to you. And you're bringing up stuff that has nothing to do with 10 to 2. If you got an issue with somebody else, call them. Let's talk to Jim in Strongsville. Hi, Jim.
Hey, guys.
How are you?
Hey, guys. Clearly this cake isn't rising, to go with your metaphor. Listen, I'm going to start here, and this is – I like the moves, and I like what he's done, but as a matter of fact, Andrew Berry just hasn't been successful enough drafting players. And you could say that he hasn't drafted high enough. Well, you know what? You got to find the talent where it is. And he just, honestly, guys, he just hasn't been good enough at it. That's where I want to start. But secondly, Daryl had said, like, well, the Browns aren't that far away. And I'm like, well, far away from what? Far away from making the playoffs? Far away from, what, winning a playoff game? Far away from what? Because they're not close to winning a Super Bowl. And I look at these players we're talking about tearing down, and I want to agree with the guy a little earlier. It's like, you got to look at it this way. where are we going to find this quarterback that's going to get us where we want to go? In the draft. You can't. So it's going to take that guy at least 2 years to acclimate to being a guy who can maybe win a championship, maybe compete for a championship. How old are Myles Garrett and Denzel Ward by the time you get to that point? Listen, we held on to Joe Thomas for all those years, and I think it was a disservice to Joe Thomas and the Browns not cashing in that Denver trade. I don't want to get to the end of this thing and be like, hey, you know what? We didn't maximize what we had to maximize when we were there. Because in all reality, this team still doesn't have a standout wide receiver that's a playmaker that could break a game open. And that's what you're still going to need one of those. So where are you going to go? And I'm just not – honest to God, guys, it's time to start building it through the draft. We haven't done good at it. We just haven't. We haven't been good enough. Somebody said it a few days ago. We only have three draft picks on this team that starters on this team that Andrew Berry drafted. That's not good enough. I don't care where you're picking. He's drafted wide receivers all over the place and he's ended up having to trade for guys that are retreads. So I think you got to start looking there. And just this last thing, you brought it up about, with Baker. And I don't want to bring up the Baker Wars. But when that situation went down, at least my interpretation of it at this point with the way Kevin Stefanski handled that thing, you chose your coach over him. So that's got to come to roost at some point, too.
I got to get a break here, but explain that to me. My
understanding is that there was an issue with Baker Mayfield after maybe the Denver game where he had questioned something Stefanski had said. Stefanski had met with Clowney before a meeting, and he wasn't in the meeting, and that was where the disconnect really happened.
Mm-hmm.
And my interpretation, and that was the reason why Stefanski kept marching Baker out there, even though that he was hurt, was to prove a point. And so in my mind, those two were like oil and water, and they weren't working out, and you chose your coach. I mean, otherwise, who else was it? Who else was it that decided Baker was going to go? Jimmy doesn't decide that stuff. Well, I mean, maybe, but he wouldn't have done that.
I mean, you got Jim. There's a lot of people in the mix on that. Paul DePodesta was another name that goes in the mix on that. I don't know. If you want to look at it that way, you can. I just think the Browns felt like they could upgrade a quarterback, and that's why they did what they did. And then Baker said, "Oh well, if you want to go out and try to get somebody else, okay, I don't want to be here anymore. You don't want me, I don't want you." And then when Deshaun said, "Hey, I don't want to go to Cleveland, but thank you for the offer. It's been, I appreciate it." Then they had to backtrack and figure out what they wanted to do with Baker, and Baker's like, "See you later." And so then that's how Deshaun Watson got the greatest contract ever. That's the way that'll always live in my memory, until somebody changes it.